Blog Talk Radio.
Some kinfolk on the Mason-Dixon line. So this summer, just for fun, hopped in my DeLorean and headed for my uncle's farm for a short time. I thought that I would be hunting and fishing. I misunderstood him somehow. So far, there's nothing but chores here to mention. I didn't mind feeding the sows. But how do you milk a cow? How do you milk a cow? I wasn't in FFA. This chemist thinks I'm crazy up under it this way. I'm sitting here pulling, but there ain't nothing coming out. Oh, me-I-I-O. How do you milk a cow? All make fun of me. Can't haul much hay in a tiny sports car. So I got myself a four-wheel drive. Learned to spotlight deer at night. And I've got shearing sheep right down to an art. One thing's for sure, I hate shoveling manure. It gets all over my overalls. Them horses need shoeing. I fear best in mooing. So I thought maybe I'd ask you all, how do you milk a cow? How do you milk a cow? I think it's safe to say a man could get arrested for this in L.A. This heifer must be empty, cause she ain't hood now. Oh, me-I-I-O, tell me, how do you milk a cow?
This song. Don't get mad at cow disease.
How do you milk a cow? I no longer care. I'm getting sick and tired of smelling dairy air. I'm heading back to county and I'm turning in my plow. Oh, me-I-I-O. How do you milk a cow?
This is Brilliant Ideas Radio, and I'm your host, Brilliant Ideas, and welcome to our third show on Saturday morning, where we get to meet some food friends from Facebook, Twitter, etc. And so glad you could join us today. And by the way, we're going to try something different this morning. If by chance, during the show, you would like to call in and ask questions to the guest or ask me questions. Just be careful what questions you ask. You can call in today at 714-242-5272. That's 714-242-5272. And if we have time, we will we'll patch you in. And I'd like to hear what you have to say. And if you want, just call in and say hello. Well, today we have our first guest, Kim Zani, and she's the owner of Gelato di Babbo. And speaking of how do you milk a cow, I think that Kim should be able to give us a little insight on that with her product. And I'm going to try to get Kim online here with us. And if everything works right, we should have you. Kim, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm on the line. Good morning.
How are you? How are you this morning?
Just waking up.
Oh, come on now. You're on the East Coast in Pennsylvania, so you should be wide awake by now.
People that know me well know that I have a really hard time in the morning.
Uh-oh. Well, let's hope we can do this okay without having any issues with you there over in Pennsylvania. So I guess you heard our song in the beginning about milking cows, and I think that kind of has something to do with the product that you sell. So I wanted to get you online here to talk a little bit about your company and tell us a little bit more about Gelato de Babbo. And by the way, when I say that name, I always want to say Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo after it for some reason, but I'm not sure why. Welcome to
it's
the show.
More fun to say
and, excuse me?
I said it's so much more fun to say it when it's fast.
Well, thank you for calling in. I just want to find out if you could tell us a little bit about your company and about your products. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know much about gelato, so tell us a little bit about how you got started and a little bit about your products.
Well, I started actually this was going to be like a supplemental income for me, because I actually started doing, I was doing video. And I had a video production company, and the projects were kind of spaced out. So in between checks, I was looking for something that I can kind of have a little extra money for. And so I was spending my summers in Italy, and I'm thinking to myself, why is there nothing like this where I live? I, live in Lancaster County, and there's ice cream, and there was, like, Italian ice with soft serve. So I'd eat the gelato in the summertime in Italy, and I came back, and I had talked to my mother-in-law and said, hey, listen, she's lived in Italy. Said, I'd really like to make some gelato. She went and spoke to the gelateria that had the best gelato in the area, and they had given her the recipes. She had a promise, though, that the recipes were not going to be made in Italy, that they were going to America. So I got the recipes, and, as they gave me the recipes, they were not the exact recipes. Obviously, I wouldn't give my recipes out to somebody either, so I'd change them a little bit. And they were changed. So, and the fat content in the milk there is a little bit different than the fat here. It's heavier there. So it took me a while of tweaking the recipes and just changing them. And so what I did is I brought it out on the streets in a customized tricycle that we'd pack full of ice, and I'd make fresh gelato the night before and put it on this bike on the side of the street and scoop gelato all day on the side of the street. It was perfect for
now
me because I was still
was
sitting.
Was this in Pennsylvania that you were doing this in Lidditz or somewhere else?
Yep, in Lidditz, which is a kind of like a foodie tourist. It's like a very historical area. A lot of people come in from different areas for Wilbur's Chocolate Factory. There's the Sturgis Pretzel Factory. So it's kind of a foodie town anyways.
Okay.
So I would push the bike out there, and I'd scoop it and sit outside. It was perfect for me because I'd sit there and edit my videos on the side of the street and, soak up the sun, which I love, and would scoop gelato. I'm like, this is like the best life ever. So then I started getting cold, and I'm like, what am I going to do? and the economy started to go downhill, and I had people like bailing on contracts on me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? So I started taking the gelato and packaging it up and taking it to local grocery stores to see if they would put it on the shelves. And the first person that tried it was just taken back by it. And he was like, yeah, I'll put it on the shelves. So I went through the whole packaging process. He's like, this is probably going to take you a while to get the product ready and put it on the shelves. I'm like, don't doubt me. A month later, I had it ready to go, barcoded, nutrition facts and everything on the shelves.
Wow.
And I brought it out in 6 different flavors, including gelato and sorbet. And it just kind of took off from there. Last year, like 2 years later, I was dealing with only 3 grocery stores, and I went in the past year from 3 grocery stores to 42, and this year I'm supposed to jump up to another 100 additional stores.
Now,
so
this is offered. It's offered in your area, just in regionally, like in Pennsylvania, New Jersey.
Yeah, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. There's some scoop locations too. I have gelaterias that are like running their entire operation right off of me. So. Down in Frederick, Maryland, there's somebody that scoops it, and, she's making floats and frappes and all kinds of stuff with my product. So, I mean, that's kind of cool. But so we do that, and then I do the pints for the regional area, which would be New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and that's really it. So I'm more in a lot of the smaller local grocery stores, but then also into a lot of the chain grocery stores, too. So it's just kind of spreading.
Now, I was reading some information about you that you deal with a Mennonite farm where they actually take the milk from the cows and then it's fresh from the cow, pasteurized, and make it into the gelato?
Yeah, my big catchphrase is it goes from udder to pints, because it literally goes from udder to pint. The cows are milked right there. There's about 100 cows. Mennonites are they're like Amish but different.
Right.
So, you know, it's very old school, I guess you could say, or old world. But they milk the cows and then they pasteurize it, and then it ages and we run it through the machines and it's packaged. And it goes out on the truck. So the gelato is always made fresh, and it goes out on the truck to local deliveries.
Now, how many different flavors do you have?
They're always changing. I get so bored with the flavors. I have the standard ones that are the coconut, chocolate, the super dark chocolate, the vanilla. So the standard ones you'll find in the chain grocery stores are seven different flavors,
okay.
Which includes the sorbet as well. And then the smaller local grocery stores give me a little bit more play with them, so I can come out with a new flavor seasonally or, you know, more often if I'd like. And they have more of a variety.
I noticed I was looking through your list of flavors, and two of them caught my eye, because if you know anything about me and the barbecue losers, you would think that blackberry Merlot and strawberries and champagne would catch my eye. Do you sell a lot of those?
Yeah. The strawberries and champagne is fantastic. It's a sorbet, so it's made of all fruit. The difference between my product and somebody else's sorbet is that the percentage of fruit that they actually use in their product, I use 2.5 pounds of fruit in my products.
Wow.
So it's loaded with fruit versus water that's kind of flavored and has a small percentage of fruit in it. Then I add the champagne to it, and that landed me on a cover of magazine. The blackberry Merlot is also extremely good. It's non-alcoholic, so, you know, it was pinted up. The problem with blackberries, though, is the seeds are so stinking big, they get stuck in people's teeth. people don't really like that too much.
No, I don't think that looks so good. Now, I understand, too, that along with the gelato, you're coming out with a new product, a spread. Can you tell us more about that, too?
Yeah. So I traveled to Italy this past summer in June, July, and I went down there. Some of it was for vacation, and the other half of it was for business. And so when I went down for the business part of things, I was introduced. I went down to Bronte, which is in Sicily, in the Mount Etna area. And when I went down there to get the best pistachio, because Bronte is known for the best pistachio in the world, but
right.
I went down there to get this product, I was sitting in their conference room, and they're like, so we want to introduce something to you. And I was like, okay. So they slid out these samples, and I tried them, and I immediately just sat back in my chair, and I was like, I want that. So it's a spread. It's like a Nutella, but it's a pistachio spread. And there's also a pesto. So pistachio pesto, which can be used for hot or cold pasta or as a as they spread for like a panino, and the cream, the pistachio cream spread is, you know, you can use it on crepes. I was putting it on everything, cookies, even just eating it by the spoonful, pizza, like a sweet kind of fruit pizza.
Right.
And it's really, you know, torts, whatever, you can use it for anything. And then also I decided that my white chocolate hazelnut gelato flavor that I sell in the grocery stores and pints is a huge seller. And so what I asked for them to do is if they would make me my own product, a white chocolate hazelnut spread crunch, which is kind of like Nutella, but it's white chocolate hazelnut and it's crunch. And so when I was there, I was walking around in the streets videotaping, and I took some pictures, and we used the picture of me, you know, down in Bronte, the town, used one of the street pictures on the labeling. And so, you know, it's my product, and it's pretty neat. The product's been going through a lot of trials, and I'm happy with it now. And these products are going to be coming into the United States the end of October. And so it's the three products, and I'm really excited about them. Everybody who's tried it is just like, wow.
Now, this is so they're actually made in Italy, and then they're shipping them over, and you have exclusive rights to the product. And
yeah.
Do you have any stores lined up at the present time?
Everybody that tries it likes it, but it's out here. So I haven't gotten a chance to really market it anywhere else just because I've been so busy with the gelato business, too. I'm running two businesses at once. So, you know, it's easy for me to go into the stores that I'm already supplying to and say, hey, listen, by the way, do you want this product? And so, you know, everybody's like, yeah, I mean, I'm already there. So it's pretty easy that way. But I haven't began to really heavily market it yet. You know, I'm working on that at the moment. But
do all this as a one-lady shop? How do you do all this?
I drink a lot of coffee. I love a lot of coffee. I tell people all the time, I really don't sleep. I work about 18 hours plus a day, and
wow.
Usually 6 to 7 days a week. So I don't have a life. I have no social life. This is my life. This is my hobby. I don't even know what to say. I work a lot. I'm hoping that the payoff is going to come soon. You know, I've been holding it down. Starting from nothing has been pretty hard, and I understand why people say now that you should never start a business with no money, because
it's
pretty hard.
It does help, but we can tell by, you know, just the way you talk about the product, your passion for it, and I think that's the key thing. If you have passion for the product selling, then, you know, the success should follow you. It's a lot of luck, but it's also a lot of hard work, and obviously you're doing the hard work part of it. So
yes,
that's
it's a lot of risk too.
Yeah, risk is part of it, but what's the old saying? Oh, no pain, no gain. You got to
yeah.
go for it.
Yeah,
so,
I love the risk.
Here's a question I always ask everybody when they come on the show, and of course, it sounds like to me with your 18-hour days, you may not have any extra time. But tell us something about you that maybe no one knows about you, as far as what hobbies you have, or are you in a band, or do you sing, or do you have anything other than gelato and spreads? Do you have anything else that you're involved in that people may not know about you? and she says no, because gelato is my life.
I don't even know what to say to that. Honestly, I used to have a life. I'm 33 years old. And I don't have a life anymore. I mean, I'm hoping soon it will pay off and I'll be able to enjoy my life again. I don't even know what to say to that anymore. I used to do stuff. I don't go anywhere.
In a way, that's good. You think of Colonel Sanders and they think of chicken. So when people think of you, they'll think of gelato and your spread. So that's not so bad. When you become a multi-gazillionaire, then everybody, you can say, well, it all paid off. And, yeah, you said you're 33 years old, so you're still young. You got plenty of time. I don't think Colonel Sanders started until he was 65, so you got plenty of time.
Yeah. Wow. You know, you really caught me off guard on that one.
Oh,
I'll be thinking
okay.
about that one all day. I'm obsessed. That's what the problem. I'm obsessed with my business and my company. It's just too much. I'm no fun to be around. That's what the problem is that I get invited places and I'm just, like, obsessed with my stuff.
Well, we can hear your passion, and I would just say congratulations for your success so far, because getting into the stores, I know I've been involved in products myself, it's not an easy task, and the fact that you got your foot in the door at, you said 42 stores now, correct?
Yes.
So that, you know, you're doing a pretty good job considering the short amount of time that you've been doing it. Well, I wanted to also just tell you thank you for stopping by and giving us your story, and think about that other question. Maybe we'll have you on again next
I'm going to be thinking about this one for a while.
And I really appreciate you stopping by, and I was going to actually see if anyone had any questions here on the chat room to ask you, and nobody's putting anything in here, so I guess they're leaving it up to me. But thank you very much for stopping by, and congratulations and good luck with the future, and keep us posted. And we'll have you on later when you get into like 4,000 stores and all over the country, and we appreciate you stopping by.
That's the plan. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. We'll take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, that was Kim Zani from here's where I mess up again, because I want to say Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo, but from Gelato di Babbo And her website, which I forgot to mention, but is posted on our website here, is www.gelatodibabo.com. That's Gelato de Babbo. And check it out, and also go and check out her new spreads when they're available. I think she said they're coming out in October. Our next guest coming up here after our short break will be John Lynch. He's the owner of Cripple Creek Barbecue. Some of you may know John from Facebook and Twitter. We're going to take a short break here for a few minutes and come back, and we'll get John on the line. And once again, this is Grillion Ideas of Grillion Ideas Radio. We'll be back. Okay, we are back. This is Grillion Ideas Radio, and I'm your host, Grillion Ideas, and thanks for stopping by. And if you were on our first half of our show, you got to hear from Tim Zani, the owner of Gelato de Babbo, and we had a conversation about her products and her one-man operation or one-woman operation. And you know, check her out on her website at www.gelatodebabbo.com. And the link is on our website here on the radio. Now, our next guest on the show, as some people may know, John, is Cripple Creek Barbecue. And John, I'm going to try to patch you in here. We're having a little few technical difficulties, but let's check out and see what we got here. John, are you there?
I am here. Are you there?
All right. I'm here. And I think I'm here. We're having some technical difficulties over here in the radio world today. So how's it going, John?
It is going well. It's working on 80 degrees here in beautiful Colorado, and I'm elbow deep into an engine rebuild.
an elbow deep in an engine rebuild. That sounds like a lot of fun. What are you working on?
My personal vehicle. It decided to blow a head gasket. So.
Oh, there you go. I thought maybe you were working on your foodie truck and you were redoing it and putting some making it a hot rod foodie truck or something.
That'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? Great big huge slicks on it.
Well, what I want to have you on the show today is that's one item we want to talk about, and also wanted to talk about Cripple Creek Barbecue. For those people who are listening in who may not know who you are and what you do, and you and Stacy out there in Colorado, kind of tell us a little bit about Cripple Creek and how you got started, and you know what's behind the barbecue sauce and your products, and I'll let you take the floor. It's all yours.
Okay. We started the company in January 2009. I'm a classically trained chef, and we've always been kind of really big into barbecue, and I started making my own sauce just for, you know, us, because we couldn't stand the taste of most of the stuff on the shelves.
Right.
And Stacy kept saying, you need to sell this. You need to sell this. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You're biased. Nobody's going to like it. And then she talked me into having some of her friends and family test it. And everybody was like, wow, this is really quite good. So I kind of started making a couple of different sauces. And I started a friend of mine and I worked at a farmer's market where we were doing barbecue. And I whipped up a bunch of sauce just for that, and we got a really great response. So I started listening to her.
When did you start this when?
2009.
So it all started basically at a kitchen table, a pot, and at a farmer's market.
Yeah, it was really, you know, just kind of everything happened all at once. The barbecue.
Hey John,
yeah.
By the way, to interrupt you, I said a pot as a cooking pot, not like smoking pot, just so you make sure.
Oh, well, yeah, we got, with the people that follow us, we've got to really clarify because, you know, we don't want them going the wrong direction.
So anyway, I know a little bit about your products, but you use all natural products and you're big on the environmental issues and making sure that it's environmentally sound. You might want to tell a little bit about that, about your products too.
Oh yeah, yeah. When we first started, we didn't, you know, we're not really into the sticky sweet sauces that seem to be on the shelves everywhere. So I started making mine, and then as a chef, I started running into an awful lot of people that were having problems with corn allergies. And and I'm really, really anti-high fructose corn syrup, only because I think that it's not good for us, and neither is monocrops. But that's a whole other subject. So I started making our sauces from the ground up. When we first started, like most Kansas City barbecue style sauces, they start with ketchup. And if you read the label on any ketchup out there, it's like tomatoes, high fructose corn syrup. And so I started doing some research and I was like, well, I can make my own ketchup. And now I make our sauces from the ground up. And upon more research, I found that most vinegar is made from corn.
Okay.
Not, you know, like wine vinegars or whatever. So I had to completely destruct my entire recipe 3 times to get it completely where it's 100% corn-free, because I'd be all happy about being completely no high fructose corn syrup, and then somebody'd say, well, what about this? I'm like, crap, and I got to redo it. You know, so it took me like 3 times to get it to the point where we're 100% corn-free, all natural and organic and sustainable where we can get it.
Great, and things have been going pretty well. Are you in some stores there in Colorado?
Yeah, actually we are. You know, like you and I, we met on Twitter, and we've gotten quite a few businesses via Twitter and Facebook, and our social media has definitely built our business. We're in 6 stores in the greater Denver area. We're in 2 in California, 1 in Illinois, And we just picked up another one that's just opened in a barbecue shop here in Colorado. So things are plugging right along.
Great. Yeah, I've had your sauces. They are excellent. They certainly add a little kick to the barbecue. And when you cook like me, I need all the kick I can get. So also, the big project I know you've been working on, which we mentioned earlier, was it about 6 months or a year ago when you started your program on Kickstarter for your new project? And I'll let you share what your project is and the status of that. But tell us a little bit about your next big project and what you're planning on doing.
Okay. Well, with the sauce and everything, the whole idea, you know, as a chef, I wanted to open my own restaurant. And
right.
So what our plan was to build a market share with our sauces, get them out in the store so that when we finally did get the money to build a restaurant, people would be, hey, I've had this. I know this. This is familiar to me. So it's kind of automatic market share. Well, as the economy progressed and as, like most people that are cooks don't get paid a lot of money. So we're looking at this restaurant dream going, I don't know that this is going to happen. And I drove by this little cart. It's like this guy's got this little cart where he's selling like sandwiches out of this cart, and it's parked in front of a liquor store all the time. I was like, I could do that. So I started doing some research, and we came up with the idea, well, it's not our idea originally, but to have a food truck where we're going to sell kind of upscale, different twists of barbecue to the people. So we started the Kickstarter program to raise funds for our truck and equipment and whatnot to get it out on the road. So that's what that is.
And
we're going to have Cripple Creek on the road, selling to people and businesses and whatnot.
Now, how's things progressing on your truck at this point?
Okay. We raised on Kickstarter, we raised just over $12,000. And of that, it's pretty much all gone. we got the truck, we got 90% of the equipment, and we just need to build it. So it's just, you know, with the sad
well,
thing
know
is,
the thing. You know the saying, John, build it and they will come.
Build it and they will come. Yeah, that's the kind of sad part about this is that it's sitting ready to go and then life happens. It's like, I've got this dream, but I got to pay my bills. So it's slowly progressing. We're getting it. The dream for our company is to start our company debt-free. Now, we do have rewards that we still owe people for them helping us out on our Kickstarter, and we're getting those out as often as we can, as quick as we can. But the idea is to, you know, when we start it, we're not going to owe Visa, you know, $10,000 because we're in the hole trying to get our dream on the road.
You don't you don't want to be owing Visa because you don't want them taking your truck.
Exactly. You know, and that's the thing. It seems that everybody starts their business in the hole to begin with, and all you're doing is you're trying to shovel out of a hole that you put yourself into to begin with. So,
right.
But our plan is to have the truck up and running by March 1st. That is our goal at this point. And that gives me all winter long to build this truck. Like I said, we've got 90% of the equipment. Everything else is just little things like plumbing and wiring and things like that. So this coming spring, we should be out on the road feeding the people.
Great. And I failed to mention earlier about your website, and I was going to ask you, too, on your website, can people go on your website and actually purchase your sauce products? And I think you have rubs too, right?
Yes, we do. We have an all-purpose rub and four sauces at this point. We're testing a new rub that's going to be hot and smoky. People have been asking us for things that got a little bit more kick to them. You know, those Southern Californian kids that are close to Mexico, they need a little heat in their ass. So we're coming up with a new dry rub that is so far it's getting some pretty decent reviews. So I think I'm going to add a little bit more heat to it just because it's just not quite hot enough for the pepperheads. And then we've also got probably in the next 2 months, we have another sauce coming out. And this one is going to be our charity sauce. All the proceeds from this sauce will be going to a nonprofit in Georgia. The sauce is going to be called, it's going to be a honey barbecue sauce. And all the proceeds go to Bears on Patrol. It's a nonprofit that helps kids work through stressful situations with the police. So,
I need to give your website address, which is www.cripplecreekbarbecue, and that's spelled out BARBEQUE.com. www.cripplecreekbarbecue.com, and hopefully things progress there with your new sauce and your hot rubs and your getting your truck off onto the road. And you say your target date is in March?
Yes, March 1st is what we're shooting at right now. And you know, if people get lost trying to find our website, they can also find us on Twitter and Facebook, facebook.com Cripple Creek BBQ, and it's the same thing on Twitter, Cripple Creek BBQ.
All right. And you know that I'm going to ask the question because I ask everybody every week. Tell us something that we don't know about you that you can share, well, things you can share in public about something, a hobby you may have or a talent you may have that no one knows about.
All right. The wife is listening, so I probably should think about this one a minute.
hey, wait a minute. Maybe we should put her on the phone, and maybe we'll find out more about you. Let's ask Stacy what your talents are.
Yeah, well, the sad thing is you'd ask her, and she'd tell you things that I'm not very good at. So, we don't need that information broadcast to the national public. You see.
Well, I ask the question each week, and I always catch people are off guard, and it's kind of funny. People don't know what to say. It's like that show on NPR with the guy. I think it's called The Actors Guild. And I'm not trying to make you cry or anything, but
you get Stacy on here, you may get me crying.
No, I didn't know if you had any special talents or things. We know that you're a chef, and we know you make barbecue sauce, and we know you. Hey, I got one. You rebuild engines. That's something people didn't know probably till today.
I do. I do my own stunts per most of the time. You know, I know that this face and this body put myself in risk is a dangerous idea, but I do it. I do it for you. I do it for the people.
Well, at some point, someone told me a few weeks ago that I had a face for radio, so I guess we both probably do. We're suited for this. Well, I appreciate you stopping in and calling us and giving us information to the company, and wish you the best of luck with the food truck and your progress on that in March, and wish you well. And I'll give your website address once again. It's Cripple Creek Barbecue, which is www.cripplecreek, and it's spell out barbecue, BARBEQUE.com. And, John, thanks again for stopping by, and keep us posted, and we'll have you back on maybe when you launch that truck and get it on the road and start selling some barbecue there in Colorado.
Very cool. Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
All right. Take care. We'll talk to you later. Okay, that was John Lynch from Cripple Creek Barbecue, and I appreciate him stopping by. And if anybody out there listening would like to come on the show and tell us a little bit more about your products, on Saturday mornings, we're planning on doing this every Saturday morning, and you can call in and let me know before the show is over today, or you can send me an email. My email address is brilliantideas@earthlink.net, and that's brilliant to spell with a G, brilliant ideas. And if you have any suggestions for the show, or if you would like to promote your products or come in and tell us, please send me an email. And by the look on the clock, I am running down on time because this thing will cut off on us if we're not watching it. It's automatic. So I want to once again thank everybody for stopping by. Come again next Saturday. We should have two more guests to tell about their food products. And we want to wish everyone a happy weekend and a great week. And once again, this is Brilliant Ideas Radio. This is your host, Brilliant Ideas, wishing you a very good week next week. You guys take care.
Good.